Remember those baptismal certificates that hung on your grandparents' wall? Beautiful. They had the baptism of Jesus and other images and their name. It was always a constant reminder of the gift that the Lord Jesus gave them in their baptism. Well, we have a new version of that. If you visit wolfsoncreative.com, you can see the baptismal certificates there. They're available electronically for congregations to print as many as you want, or individually, paper copies for families to hang on the wall and treasure the Lord's gift of baptism. The website is wolfsoncreative.com. And with each purchase, Issues Etc. gets a portion of the proceeds to carry on their work. Thanks for visiting wolfsoncreative.com.
But as I've said before, and I repeat it to President Hu, we have some core views as Americans about the universality of certain rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
The terminology that I used, I believe, seemed to disenfranchise other religions, and it certainly was not meant to do that.
Neither side, whether political left or political right, should claim Jesus as he's our mascot.
Luther is offering us a conservative reformation to not throw out things that the Roman Church does just because they do it. That's an overreaction.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
For some reason, Christians nowadays feel free to take something that has an objective definition, has a scriptural definition, has been defined by the church for all of its history in a certain way, and redefine it. And what do they want to redefine? The church itself. They feel free to change the definition of what the church is. The church becomes whatever we want it to be rather than what it is objectively, apart from our definition, redefinition, or hopes and dreams of what the church could be. So what is the church and what is church fellowship? We're going to answer those questions here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday, January the 25th. Joining us, Dr. Naomichi Masaki of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. A little bit later, we'll talk about the State of the Union addresses. There will be another one tonight. We'll be talking about what this big once-a-year speech by the president is intended to do. Why is it different from other presidential addresses? And its history. Dr. James Berkey of Concordia University, Wisconsin, will be our guest. To round off the first hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us. We'll talk about the March for Life and its connection to the defense of marriage. Pastor George Borghardt will join us to kick off the second hour. We'll remember, along with the rest of the church, the conversion of St. Paul, which wasn't just the Damascus Road. It was also Damascus a week later with a baptism. Then, in the second hour of the program, we continue our five-part daily series on the Crusades. Today, we'll talk about the Second Crusade and papal politics. Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska, will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. You can email us with questions or comments anytime in the next 2 hours right here in the studio. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Naomichi Masaki is an associate professor of systematic theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's authored a chapter in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Lutheran Spirituality, and his chapter is titled Community, We Are Not Alone. Dr. Masaki, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be with you.
When we talk about Christian community, we talk naturally about the church. I guess a natural question is, where can we find the church?
Well, that's a good question to start with, because the church is usually defined as the building or some kind of organization or what we do. And if we say that what is a church, then we may say that's the people, but then what kind of people? So you begin to qualify that question onto what kind of people and so on. That's all man-centered. But the question of where can we find the church? Then we can be more specific because the Lord has given the answer for it.
And where is that? What is the answer that Christ gives for those who would ask that question? Where is Christ's church?
Yeah, I would say that fundamentally, the most important statement, the word of Christ, is that when he said, I will build my church, it is his church, and it is he who does it according to his pleasure, according to the arrangement that he has made. Of course, the church is only point number two. Always our Lord is speaking and doing, and as a result, the people of God are gathered in the passive sense. And it's also a flow from the Good Friday and Easter and Ascension and the Pentecost. All those what Christ has accomplished for our salvation and the delivery point, the working place of Christ, is the church.
The working place of Christ. It sounds as though you were saying that the church here and today, even in the 21st century, is the continuation of Christ's own ministry.
Yes, that's how the scripture says it. We have the Gospels, the four Gospels, but after the four Gospels, we have a record of the activities of the first apostles, so-called Book of Acts. If we get to that point, then we read in chapter 1, verse 1, in the former book, I'm paraphrasing, I have written what Jesus began to teach and to do. Implication is that the book of Acts is all about what Jesus continues to do and to teach. And so even if we find 12 apostles, especially Peter, in the first 19 chapters, and then rest St. Paul, it is still the word of the Lord grows. It is the Lord who is there by sending those men and doing his own ministry here on earth.
So what specifically does Christ continue to do through and in his church?
Since we are all sinners, he cares for us. He loves us so that he went to the cross for us, answering for all our sins. What he continues to do now is that the salvation that is achieved by him on the cross, by himself, without anyone's help, he likes to distribute, deliver to us as his gifts. And that's what he continues to do.
The emphasis, you write, in the Christian church must always remain on the Lord giving and our receiving. You even said a few minutes ago that the church is always in that position of passive receptivity. Why is that so important to maintain, Dr. Misaki?
This is an important point because we look at our life. At the beginning of our life, we do nothing. We receive our life. The church is also what Christ gives to us. And if that is the foundation, for example, when all of us experience one way or the other, when we have some shaky times, you know, time of depression, time of temptation, time of sorrow, doubt, and troubles, etc., where do we go to find the anchor of our Christian faith? Is it if the Christian faith begins and established by what we decide about Christ or what we do or what we feel in our heart, then we have to recover that feeling or that thought or that decision. And that may make some efforts to have to do. And sometimes we have no power left, for example, at the bedside or when we are even dying, we have no power left to even think through something. But if it is a passive thing, Christ began our life with him by way of his giving birth to us through baptism, through the preaching, then the foundation of our life is not about what we do, but what we receive. And that is something which something which is so certain about. There is no doubt about what he has done because it has actually happened. And so to cling to what he has done and continues to do is absolutely comforting to the weak and the sinful people like we are.
Then the reception that we are always engaged in here, passively receiving what it is the Lord gives, does it have a precedent? Not only you've spoken about the New Testament life of the church. Does it have a precedent also in the Old Testament?
Oh, yes. I think it is from the beginning. From the beginning, God created the world, and he created man. And he gave man not only the physicality or the gifts, but also the ability to listen to his word. And some theologians actually say that what is usually called the image of God is the ability to hear his word and joyfully respond to him. And he even gave us the word. And that image of God, if we can call it, is destroyed only when the sin comes in. Then man, instead of speaking back to him joyfully, he turns away from him, he hates him, he likes to flee from him, he likes to kill God. And the rest of the story in the Old Testament is how that broken relationship is going to be remedied again. And he first gave the prophecy, he gave the law, he gave, even in the Old Testament time, before Christ came, he gave the opportunity for the people of God in the Old Testament to receive the forgiveness of sins and hear his voice through the worship that he gave, namely the, something which is called the sacrificial services of the Old Testament. So it begins from the starting point, and the relationship is reciprocal. God gives, we receive everything, and then we respond to him with everything that we have. He gives more, so that a continuation of the cycle goes on and on and on, and only sin destroys it.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about that cycle. God gives, we receive passively. Then from what God has given, we freely give. It makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Beginning with what God has given, it always comes from the outside. We're talking about the church and Christian fellowship. Dr. Naomichi Masaki of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the 2011 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France.
The listeners to Issues Etc. already have had contact through the program with lecturers who will be in Strasbourg this next summer. Craig Parton, myself, Dr. Minuge, Angus Minuge, Adam Francisco, and these lecturers are people who have defended the faith, who know how to defend the faith, and who are marvelous communicators. And so, if a listener to this program wants to learn how to present the case for Christianity in a secular situation, the 2 weeks in the French Rhineland with us would be an absolutely ideal way to achieve this.
You can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 5th through the 16th in Strasbourg, France, at apologeticsacademy.eu. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Tuesday afternoon, January the 25th. We're talking about the church and Christian fellowship. Dr. Naomichi Masaki is our guest. Dr. Misaki, you were speaking before about this cycle that begins and is always perpetuated by God giving our passive reception of these things, these gifts of Christ from God, and then we are free to give to one another. Talk about the vitality of faith. How does that work?
Yeah. Well, how about, it's maybe a so mundane example, but bear with me. We some years ago, maybe a couple years ago, our household finally got, everyone else seems to have gotten, that is the TV toy called Wii. And my son, he was a high school boy, but he went to a certain shop at like 4 o'clock in the morning to get a ticket, and then finally he got the opportunity to buy one. And once we got that toy, what happened? Well, not only my son, of course, my two daughters, they rejoiced so much, inviting everyone around from the neighborhood to play together. So that's what happens when you have something good. And when you receive something so great, you can't possibly keep it to yourself. You like to share that with others because it is so joyfully something so great and fine.
Then let's talk about fellowship, which is closely related to what we've been talking about so far, the nature of the church. What is the nature of Christian fellowship?
If the church exists by his giving us his gifts, the fruits of the cross, and he does it through the most certain way, what we may have called always the means of grace, he speaks his words, he forgives our sin, and he baptizes us, he gives us his body and blood. So the church fellowship, the term fellowship is from koinonia, and koinonia in Greek means something passive rather than something active. That is to say, if I receive his gift of Lord's body and blood into my mouth, and Todd, if you receive the same gift from the Lord, then you and I find something in common. That is to say, the thing that we just received, the body and blood. That is fellowship. In other words, fellowship is to find in the brothers and sisters in Christ the same gift from the Lord. To acknowledge that is a fellowship. So it is not to for us to create, per se, but we simply recognize what Christ has already done through the gospel and the sacraments.
So that fellowship does not begin primarily as an internal thing, or even that something that we would naturally have in common with one another, but it, just like the church, is the result of something objective outside of us, something that God does first and God gives first.
Exactly, exactly. And that is a great thing for us to recognize, because we don't want to make what is so dynamically given to us as something static or something cold and not moving. But it is the life of Christ, and it is the forgiveness which is from him, and we simply joyfully recognize the same gift together. So the church fellowship, we may say that in essence, it is receiving the same gifts from the Lord together.
You write that our Christian fellowship, in this fellowship, the Lord supplies us with a family of faith that transcends race, culture, political persuasion, nationality, and even time and space. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that? How far does that go?
As far as our Lord has us go. I am a Japanese. Obviously, I have an accent. And I grew up in Japan, and there were a bunch of Norwegian missionaries and Finnish and German-American missionaries there. I spent 1 year in Norway. I came here. I also go to other countries also from time to time. Wherever I go or receive foreigners from other countries, at once we recognize that the same gifts have been given to each one of us, and we have Christ our Lord and all his gifts together, rejoicing together. And so it transcends really anything that we can think of, just as St. Paul says, there is no male or female, you know, Greek or Hebrew. You don't have to become a German to be a Lutheran. Well, we can be a Lutheran or we can be Christian as the Lord gives us his gifts.
What is the role of the pastor in this community together that is the Church of Christ's institution and this fellowship that Christ grants us by those same gifts?
Right. A pastor is a gift from Christ. As Christ sent the apostles at the end of each gospel, Christ also gave both the means of grace and the office that serves that means of grace. In Matthew, making disciples, by baptizing, teaching, Mark's gospel, preaching, John's gospel, absolving, and all those gospels, we have the Holy Communion as well. So it is the Lord who gives us his gifts through these men. And when the comfort that we have is that when the pastor speaks from his office, then he gets himself away. That's why pastor wears a garment, so that we won't see his personality more than the office of Christ. We hear the words of absolution as if Christ himself speaks. And so it is therefore wrong to say that the pastor is somehow more holier people or higher in rank or dominating person in the church or somebody who is merely hired at the will of the congregation, etc. The question that I may like to pose in those situations is, where is Christ in it? And where is the gospel? Where is the forgiveness of sins? The unity and oneness of Christians, that is a gift through his giving birth to us, each one of us as Christians, as a church. And for the sake of the gift which comes only from outside, Christ has arranged the gift-giving way. That is the pastoral office.
So the authority of the pastor from Christ is really Christ's authorization to do what we were talking about at the beginning, in that peculiar, that particular way, carry out on behalf of Christ and in Christ's stead the continuation of Christ's own ministry.
Yes. Only thing that I like to make some suggestion is that when we say pastors are authorized, then we may still say that Jesus is somewhere else and the pastors are there by themselves. I don't think that Matthew 28, when Jesus says, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me, he didn't give up his authority. The authority resides in him. And on the basis of that authority, he sends men. And so the point is that just like Moses, when he was sent by Yahweh, Yahweh was with him and with Moses and with that office. So I would like to say that when pastor from his office speaks, he's not only authorized, but he's only a mouth instrument, because Christ himself is right there.
So this isn't an absent Christ who has an emissary, but this is the present Christ in his word.
Exactly. Yes, that's the case.
Talk finally, if you would, briefly about the life of the Christian in the world, namely the Christian in his or her vocation.
That's a wonderful topic, too. And as I have noted, the gift from the Lord is so abundant. We are given such abundant life. And we are given the joyful message of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins. We have nothing to worry about, actually, in our life. And so Christ has given us, maybe we can say, a couple of common vocations that Christ has given to the church as a whole. And one would be to build up one another, edification, which St. Paul talks about very much. And also the sharing and the proclamation of the gospel here, there, everywhere. So those two are maybe said as common vocations. But also we are given each particular vocation, each place, and each situation to serve each other as a father, mother, teacher, doctor, etc. And each vocation in those places, we are there to serve our neighbor. And that is merely a living out of what we have already received. Christ has loved us first, so we love each other.
Dr. Naomichi Masaki is Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of a chapter in the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Lutheran Spirituality. His chapter is titled Community. We are not alone. You can purchase Lutheran Spirituality by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of Lutheran Spirituality at our website, issuesetc.org, Lutheran Spirituality, the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January. Dr. Masaki, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you very much for having me.
When we come back, tonight is going to be the President's State of the Union Address. Usually, this is a speech written by a committee. In fact, many, many committees, every department under the President puts something in there. He finally decides what he will say. He always gives a little preview to the press. We won't be talking so much about what our president will be saying tonight, but what other presidents have said in the past. Why do we have the State of the Union Address? What function does it serve in our good government? Dr. James Berkey of Concordia University, Wisconsin, will be our guest. Stay tuned. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The media have recently reported the number of abortions has risen after several years of declining numbers. Planned Parenthood jumped on the bandwagon, saying it's because people don't have enough access to birth control. I don't know how they can say this with a straight face when it's being offered in today's society every time we turn around. Their own figures show about half the women who've had abortions chose not to use birth control. Instead, they're using abortion as birth control. Secondly, there's a word we use for people who use birth control, artificial or natural family planning. The word is parents. Every method of family planning has a failure rate. This is why we need to teach the message of abstinence until marriage. Abstinence works every single time.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.